5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
On the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, out of bad day, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Barella Palatial, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves rolling up those fatty sticks in New York City. Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags are ready to drive in. So kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends come around, flats of party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. But a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake out. Ooh, ooh, woo, woo. I think I might have caught something from Keith. Should do be. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell with your boy Carver High this evening. And hey, Carver High, your Bills are on the Monday Nighter. You've got it all happening tonight. 11-7, the Pats are up. And we all know what's been happening. The Pats are back in the game. They're in a heavyweight position in the AFC, in the East. They're giving everybody problems. Obviously, these games with the Bills are going to, I think, dictate who wins the division. But what do you think of the fact that they're back without Tom Brady and they're doing it with this kid, Mac Jones?
Yeah, pretty impressive that they've gotten to this point of the season here at 8-4. Now Josh going deep. Oh, he almost had Diggs there in the end zone. But yeah, no, super impressed. They've won 6 games in a row. They're flying high. They're not letting Mac Jones do anything tonight, though. He's only attempted 1 pass so far in this game. They're just running the football every single play. He's not, and but as long as they have the lead, he doesn't have to throw it and even take a chance at a mistake. So the Bills need to get ahead here so that way they can force the Patriots to actually have to throw the football.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I was shocked to see that he had only thrown 1 time. I'm like, what is happening here? I have a question for you. So you saw your boy just drop that ball in the end zone. It hit him right in the arm.
Yeah.
And yesterday I was at the ketchup bottle for the Steeler-Raven game. And you saw the guy drop the touchdown pass. Did you see Roethlisberger threw the perfect bomb
right
wide open?
Right.
And I think, what's his name? Johnson. Do I got it right? Wrong. I can't. Number 18. He ended up catching the game winner, but he dropped a touchdown right in his hands. And so it was right there. He drops it. Everybody in the stadium's like, oh, Jesus H. Christ. Then you get the kicker, Boswell. He misses an extra point. Typically, you drop a touchdown in your hands and you miss an extra point, you lose the game. They somehow won the game because of Roethlisberger. He played great, and Najee played great. He was running it up the middle and finally saw some daylight and had some 10-yard chunks. But when you saw your boy here drop that ball, when it hit his arm, and it actually wasn't a bad pass, should he have caught it?
He 100% should have caught it. Now that I just saw it for a second time, He has to catch that ball in a game like this. Just like Dawson Knox in the first half. He dropped a first down pass. One of their last two drives of the first half. You've got, in these conditions, you have to catch the football.
You got to catch it, and you're at home in front of your fans, and you're the best player on the team. I mean, you're the star receiver making all the money. You got to catch that ball. Now, my guy in Pittsburgh, he's the fastest guy on the team. Maybe, you know, some people think he's the best receiver they got. But not when you're dropping touchdown passes right in your hands, literally right in his hands. I was like, bro, you suck. You got to catch that. You're making millions. You're an NFL star. Hits you square in both hands in the end zone on a bomb from an old geezer quarterback. You got to catch that ball. And I was livid when I saw it. I got to tell you, we welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius XM 159. Did you know we're on 159? Because some people are still stupid and think we're on 204. It actually flipped in my car. So when it changed to 159, I never changed it in the car. One day I turned on my car and I hit a button and there it was. And it was working where 204 was. And now it's 159. So get with the program. You know, follow us on all these things. And then San Diego's with us, Mightier 1090, and Sports Map in H-Town, Sports Byline in San Francisco. So let me tell you something. I was at that game, and it was the rowdiest game I've been to. And I got to tell you, it was incredible. They came back. They won. I think they got to Lamar Jackson at least six or seven times. I mean, T.J. Watt is a beast. I don't think the Steelers are good. I don't think they're a good team. They're not going anywhere. They're not winning anything. But that was the one game that I went to that made up Carver High for all the crappy games I went to. The Lions tie. You know, the games that I saw, the Raiders lost.
Yeah.
Where the murderer, you know, caught the, you know, Ruggs caught the 80-yard bomb from Carr. All I know is I go to their games. They suck. They don't do anything. The offense is bland. Roethlisberger's slow. He's cement. He's like old man River. They just don't have it. But yesterday, their defense did, and Big Ben did, and they were lighting it up, and that place was absolutely on its ear, jacked. Everybody was drunk. It was awesome. I had a blast. And then they stopped him on the two-point conversion. You got to be kidding me. It was rowdy as all hell in the burg. All right, so Carver High, you know, a couple things. A, I had a blast at the game yesterday because usually when I go, I've told you the stories on the air where, like, there's, you know, there's fans there that are, you know, lit, drunk, you know, painful. They get drunk and then they get, you know, brave. Everybody starts, right. You know, getting louder, talking faster. So I don't talk to anyone. I just sit there and mind my own business. My dad used to talk to everybody. He had the tickets his whole life. I went with him my whole life, and he would talk the whole game. He'd sit down, he'd start talking to these people like he lived next door to them. And he was best friends with everybody. I'm not into that whole thing. I just like, I go, I scream at the Steelers, I scream at the refs, I have a good time with who I go with, and I, you know, scream and yell and high five when they score and make stops. And so I never say anything to anybody. I've had people blow me Shaq. Remember I told you the one guy imitated me for 4.5 hours and he was just the biggest D ever. And he just thought he was so funny. And I wanted to smash his face in and literally knock all of his teeth out and shove them in his ear and in his arse. But I ignored him and I never did anything. I just ignored him. So I usually don't like the whole scene. But yesterday I went and I walk into the stadium and I have not seen this guy in like 15 years. He used to sit with my dad for like, you know, 30 years. This guy sat with us. We had the same seats, same people, friends. It was great. I hadn't seen the guy in 15 years at least. And I walk in, there he is with his son. And it had been forever, you know, 15 years, a long time. And I walked in and he's like, oh, my God, look at who it is. And I'm like, yeah, I bought him. You know, I got him from my dad and I kept him going. He goes, that is so awesome. He goes, I heard you were using the seats. And so I hung out with this guy and his son, and his son's a football player and a wrestler. And he's like my daughter's age, and the father's really cool. We talked about a lot of stories about my dad and all the years, all the Super Bowls, everything. And it was cool. Then I started hanging out with like people that I see there. I see them, but I never really engage with them. Maybe a high five or something on a touchdown, but I don't engage. So it turns out he's good friends with this couple, and they're from Charleston. South Carolina, you know, down there in the deep south. And I'm sitting there and I go, I know who you are. I see you here at the games. And it turns out he works for like Scott, you know, like the ski goggles and the motorcycle goggles and the, you know what I mean? Like they have all these, you know, outdoor stuff and, you know, all these guys that race motocross and skiers and, you know, snowboarders, all the rest. And so I was like, yeah, it's good to meet you, because he didn't know what I did. And so we started talking about, you know, he figured out what I do, TV, radio, blah, blah, blah. And then his wife is like a therapist, and they were pounding beers, double fisted. I mean, they had it all going. They were drinking beer. They were going on beer runs. I was supporting them. I was like, have another beer. I think you need another beer. I said, you are a chick that loves her beer. You know, two beers at a time. Whap, whap. You know, the dual beer. She had the double fisted. She had it all going. And we were getting rowdy. They win the game. I'm high-fiving people, taking pictures, reminiscing, laughing, having a blast. I got all kinds of videos. And so it was really the first time I sat in the seats and I, like, got along with people. And I was, you know, high-fiving, talking, you know, hanging out with people. And I'd never done that before, and it was kind of cool. And then they win the game, which was huge. I think their season's over already anyway. They're not going anywhere. But to see them beat the best team, the Ravens, because I think the Ravens are heavy D, right? They're, you know, the leader. They were. And, you know, Jackson's unbelievable. It seems like, Carver High, the Steelers have his number. They've been able to beat him over the years, and they've been able to stop him. He still, to me, is Grease Lightning. I'm watching this guy play yesterday, right? He is so hard to catch, and watching him breaking ankles and busting moves and spinning and getting out of trouble, he makes Fran Tarkington look slow. I mean, he was the best I ever saw at Tarkington at avoiding sacks and scrambling. And then this guy, Jackson, he humiliates Tarkington. I mean, it's night and day. One guy's slow compared to Jackson, but like back in the day, Fran Tarkington was the man. He can't even hold this guy's jock. I mean, this guy, you cannot catch him. I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. The guy, it looks like he's going down three or four times. Every time he drops back, he looks like he's going down. And then the next thing you know, he's 20 yards down the field. He is truly amazing. I don't care if he can't throw or he throws picks or people say his arms, you know, terrible, all the rest. They'll never win with Lamar Jackson. Watching that guy, Carver High, run around and humiliate people and make plays and make passes, because he was passing pretty tight yesterday. He was hitting his receivers. I think he's awesome. He's fun to watch. And I hate the Ravens, but I respect talent.
No, no doubt about it. The Steelers have had his number. You're right. And he's been kind of off the last few weeks, too. You go back to that Cleveland game on Sunday night last week. Lamar threw four picks. He didn't look right. Steelers have played well. I kind of thought going into the game last week that even though the Steelers got just embarrassed by the Bengals, which I couldn't believe either, I thought coming into that game they'd have one last stand. You know, they'd have one good performance, a team that they absolutely hate coming into their building.
Right.
You could see right when it came on the TV, I mean, that the place was lit. You were there. You just said it. I mean, the place was jumping at the ketchup bottle. And they've got problems on the O-line, too, the Ravens. And I think that has deteriorated them throughout the season as well.
So, like, I don't even know what's going to happen if I do this. You know, I'll probably get in trouble. I hope I do get in trouble. But I'm going to play this clip for you, all right? And it's it probably won't go over well on the YouTube or on the air or whatever else. But I have this footage of that play, right? The two-point conversion and the section I sit in. In the end zone, it was like arm's length. I could reach out and touch the players, right? Like they were right at the 2 yard line, right in my face, right in my end zone. I sit in the end zone, like 15 rows from the field. And people are like, who wants to sit in the end zone? Well, you know, it's a red zone league. And if one team is trying to score at this end, the other one's trying to score at this end, right? It's like, that's all they do in the NFL is try to score. And they try to move it into the red zone, and then it all starts. So I love being there where I don't care who it is, either team, coming right in your face. And when they score, if the Steelers score or the Bills, whoever it is, and you're right there in that end zone when they score, remember the Lambeau leap and all the rest? People love it. And I got to tell you, where I sit, it is Gandhi. I'm going to show you on – I'm going to try to do this. Let's see if this works, Carver. It's probably a bad idea. But it was so cool. And if they're swearing, it's, you know, my fault. Here we go. Let's see if I can do this. I'm going to get it back here to the beginning, and then here we go. Let's see if we can do it. All right, so I want to show you now. I actually want to show it on the camera so people can see it.
There you go.
Now watch.
Nice.
Wait, watch these people. Wait, watch. I'm going to show you the chick that's drinking all the beer, too. She's going to be in there. Here we go. Hold on. Now, I don't even know these people, and I'm becoming friends with them, right? Now, here we go.
Beautiful.
That's the chick right there drinking the beers, double-fisted. What a scene at that stadium last night. I got to tell you, violence in the highest order. Oh, by the way, Carver High, after the game was over, I saw a chick fight. I'll tell you about when we come back. Saw two chicks throw down like Fury and Wilder. So, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. I was leaving Heinz Field, right? The game's over. Everybody's drunk and loud, rowdy. Everybody's lit. They just won the game 20-19. I have to tell you, leaving that stadium and entering that stadium it's a nightmare. I mean, it's just a nightmare. I don't care what anyone in Pittsburgh thinks or says. Anyone that thinks that that's easy to get into, standing in line for an hour to get into a stadium, to me is just too much work. I'm like standing in line with people just absolutely like sardines at every gate. So they like pack in like sardines, thousands of people. There's 60 some thousand people, right? And they cascade onto these like four or five gates. And it's just an absolute cluster Pharreller. I mean, it just doesn't work. It just does not work. It's like, you know, it's like the George Washington Bridge, Carver High, when they shut down, like, you know, a lane to do some construction work. I mean, you're bumper to bumper for an hour and a half. I mean, it's just one lane gets shut off or one car breaks down and the whole thing goes. So getting into the Heinz Field, if you don't go like an hour and a half before the game, if you go like 50 minutes before the game, you'll miss the kickoff. You'll miss the kickoff. It takes an hour and 10 minutes to get into this stadium. Like, it's so painful. And everyone's like pushing and like trying to get ahead and like move and maneuver their way past people. And it's just people arguing. It's crazy. And then leaving is even worse because they have like these ramps you have to walk down. And there's 60 some thousand people going down these ramps. And you're just like, oh my God. So you get out and tension is, you know, brimming right at the top of the cup. So I'm walking down the street, bumper to bumper people, you know, people walking on foot to their parking lots and cars and hotels, whatever. And it is like being at a rock festival. There's 60,000 people and they're all walking down like two or three roads, right? All of a sudden I look over, I'm sitting there with my buddy. I look over and I see this chick bounce off this woman's like pickup truck. She had like a nice, like, in a Ram truck. She had like a really nice Ram truck. And this chick like fell off the curb and she went backwards right into this chick's, you know, quarter panel. And she just like bashed into this chick's truck. And this chick got out of the car and she's like, yo, I mean, you know, have another drink. Why don't you? You know, you can't even stand up. And then the chick that fell into her car just went right off and haymakered her right in the mouth. I mean, just a whap. And then this chick driving the truck, she came to her senses and she grabbed this girl that punched her and she grabbed her like by her head and her hair. And she took her and she threw her head and her skull into the back of her truck. She just went whap. Right into it. And I was like, yeah. I was like, chick fight. And everybody started cheering. And people just started watching these two chicks. And I mean, they meant business. They were trying to kill each other. And they were like in their 30s. And they were like going at it. I mean, I saw this chick get like superplexed into this truck by this girl. She just gave her a Charlotte Flair. Whap. Right into the truck. She's like, that'll be the end of you. And she got in her truck and drove off. Earlier in the day, Carver High, I saw a guy fight. I had a chick fight and a guy fight. Walking down the street, here's, you know, 50 Murderers Row bars, right? Going into Heinz Field, I got all these bars on the North Shore. I go by this place, right by PNC Park. All of a sudden, it was like a Western, like a Clint Eastwood. Tiny much of a living boy. All of a sudden, I'm walking by the bar with my buddy. And a guy comes flying out in the air. He was thrown out of the bar by the bouncer. They just picked him up and threw him out of the bar. I see this guy cascading out of the front door of the bar right onto the sidewalk like a big heap of just pain. He just landed like out of midair, you know, waist high. Bam, he splatters on the sidewalk. He gets up. He's not having it. He went right after the bouncer. He goes, you're not throwing me. And then it all started. There was like four or five guys throwing punches. I'm like, what is happening here? We got a fight right here. I go, they're dropping the gloves, Carver. I'm like, haymaker, 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 haymaker. Well done with a headbutt. 4 hours later, I see a chick fight. I saw it all, Carver High. Chicks drinking double-fisted beers, chick fights, guy fights, you name it. Steelers win, and the Ravens fail on the two-point conversion, and Pittsburgh steals the win. Unbelievable. I saw it all, did it all, and then today, a disastrous return to New York. And you had the same problem at LaGuardia. What happened to you? Like me, they circled the airport for an hour and a half in the plane. We kept going around in circles. I got so mad on the plane, I was dripping. I was dripping like Fred Flintstone. The minute they were like, it's going to be another hour, folks. We're experiencing heavy traffic because of the warm front that's coming through, followed by a cold front. And the traffic and the wind and the turbulence is causing massive delays at LaGuardia. So sit back and enjoy the rest of the flight as we go around in circles for an hour and a half. And when he said that, I just started sweating bullets. I had like, literally I was gushing like I was Fred Flintstone. I mean to tell you, I was like dripping like I jumped in a lake because I got so mad. As you know, I can get mad. I got so mad that I wasn't going to be on time to get to the house to do, you know, coast to coast. I was supposed to be in at 1 o'clock and I got in at you know, 10 after three. The same thing happened to you. You flew around in circles. Did you enjoy that? That's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the worst. It's like we came home Sunday from New Orleans and the same thing. 45 minutes just going around in a circle before they finally landed us. It just made no sense. Made no sense. Oh, and then afterwards, you get the dopey pilot with the, well, you know, they routed us to a new runway or routed all the traffic to a new runway at LaGuardia. So it's going to be you know, a little while. Just please land the plane. Land the plane.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thought I'd wake you up a half hour before we land just to let you know that we're beginning our descent into the area. For some strange reason, on every flight your entire life, you hear that We're going to wake you up 30 minutes before we have to let you know that we're now going down toward the ground. Is there anything worse than the folks who are 30 minutes out? We're going to come by and pick up the trash and move your seats back. How about you wake me up never? How about you just land the plane and then, like, we go to Pittsburgh, right? And we get to the airport. It takes an hour. It's an hour flight. So we fly to Pittsburgh on Saturday, and we land. And then the guy says, ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. We're having a problem at the gate getting someone to tow us in. So if you could just bear with me, thanks for flying with us. And we look forward to your business in the future. And have a great weekend. Go Steelers. Aren't they playing someone?
Yeah, gave the go Steelers in Pittsburgh. You That's know, always good. The guy.
An Indianapolis-based flight crew. Go Steelers is what the guy said. I was like, yeah. Okay, Colt fan. So anyway, he sits there at the gate. I'm looking out the window of the plane, and I said to my buddy, I said, there's no planes here. There's every gate's empty. There's like nine gates empty in a row. And I'm like, you think maybe we could just like pick one of them and pull up and park and get out and go? Instead, this dork makes us sit for 35 minutes on the runway or whatever, the parking area, and we waited, and when it was all said and done, no one towed us in. He just finally turned the plane on and drove in and parked. I'm like, why didn't you do that at the beginning? And when I got off the plane, the guy's like, thanks for flying with us. I'm like, nice job, dude. Honestly, with the 15 gates that were open that we couldn't just pull in from the jump. I go, honestly, like sitting on this cramped plane for another half hour to me was like, it, basically prison. It was, here's me on a plane. It's you know, those little skinny planes that go an hour. Here's me with my knee up and my chin. Oh my God. If I have to sit on one of those planes for more than an hour and a half, 2 hours, don't invite me, because I can't do it. You know, Carver High, I go business class. I can't fly coach anywhere, you know, over 3 hours. I'll lose my mind. It's literally like being in a police car in the back. You know, they got you stuffed in there, handcuffs. You got the glass, you know, divider, bars, whatever the hell else. You can't do anything to the cop. It's the worst position in the world being in coach. You and I have sat in coach, like in the back of the plane by the header. Is there anything worse? Being in the last row, Carver High, stuck in the last row. I had to do that from San Francisco all the way to New York, like 6.5, 7 hours. Last row, I could smell everybody's action coming out of the header. That was the last time I ever flew coach, except when I go to Pittsburgh.
It's not fun. It is not fun. Every time I've gone with you to Vegas, you always sit in the front. You never get you're never in the coach spot. But
if I don't get in business class, I don't want to go. I just don't want to go on the trip. I always tell people, make sure you get me business class. They're like, pardon me? I'm like, yeah, like, I don't want to go unless you get me business class. Why is that? Well, because I'm going to snap. I'll snap on somebody in coach. I'll snap. I'll be like one of those people that you see getting arrested at the airport. You know, I'm not having it. You know, a little bag of peanuts and a glass of water in the last row. Can't have it. So anyway, Carver High, the moral of the story is this. When I got my bag at baggage claim, I was soaking wet. People were looking at me like I was Manson, like I was Charles Manson. And I don't care. I was very angry. And I'm like, when I got an hour flight and I'm sitting on a plane for 4 hours, you know, and I'm sitting in the airport for 2 hours waiting to leave. And then the guy says it's a 1 hour flight. And then it turns into a 2 hour flight and we're driving around in circles. I get upset. And you know, when I get mad, you know, like Carver High, when people say, why is he so mad? And I'll be like, I'm not mad. You'll know when I'm mad. Trust me. I'm not mad. Cause my voice is gravelly and loud and scary, whatever you want to call it. People think I'm always mad. He's always mad, that guy. Actually, I'm not always mad. Maybe I am. Carver High could tell you. But I think the reality is, you know when I'm mad. And you know when I'm just loud, right? Like, so I'm in this plane, and I'm sitting in, like, the right behind first class. I'm in the first row. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, I started sweating, literally, like I jumped in a lake. And it was because I was wearing, like, a hoodie sweatshirt. It was 60 degrees. And I was just starting to get upset, right? So I'm sitting there, and I was gushing. I mean, like, gushing. And this stewardess is looking at me. She's like, are you okay? I go, no, I'm not okay. I said, I got to be on TV at, you know, 4 o'clock, and we're still flying around in circles. I mean, how many times are you going to fly over Yankee Stadium? And she was like, sir, you're going to have to calm down. I said, listen, I am calm. You don't know me. I'm not mad. I'm this and that. What I am is stressed out. I need to get off of this plane. We need to land this plane that was supposed to be there at 1 o'clock. It's now 3:05, 3:10. I get off the plane. I'm livid. I'm soaking wet. I'm livid. She's like, Merry Christmas. I'm like, bah, humbug. And then the captain's standing there. I'm like, you suck. And then I'm like, and screw this LaGuardia too. And so I go and I get my bag, and then I run. I literally run to the parking garage, and I'm like on the third deck, and I get my car, get out of the lot. And then I'm sitting in bumper to bumper traffic, trying to get on the, you know, like freeway there in Queens. And when we finally got on the freeway, which took like 6-7 minutes, we went 100 miles an hour. We went 100 miles an hour the entire way home. I mean, literally, I mean, it was the scariest ride I've ever been in. Like, I was in the car. My buddy said, I know the roads better. I drive here every day. Let me drive. I'm like, okay. He's driving my car, and he's just flooring it. He's driving. He's got this thing. Wah, wah. He's passing people, weaving. I'm holding on for dear life. I'm like, Jesus, dude, you're going to kill me. You're going to kill Pharrell. You're going to have that on your head. You killed Pharrell. In Pharrell's car. I mean, honest to Christ, dude, slow down. You're scaring me. He's like, we're going to get you home. You're going to be there in time to do coast to coast. I was like, all right, just do it. I'm getting a headache. So finally, they call me from Sports Grid and said, just forget it. Don't even do the show. Do the radio show. Don't worry about it. Just you're a mess. You're stressed out. You're freaked out. You're screaming and yelling. Just Carver High will do it. I mean, it was one of those days, Carver High. I cannot travel and be put in that predicament where I'm just like, can you imagine how mad I got when I realized I was going to be late? You know, I'm never late to anything.
No, I know. When Mafia called me and let me know that that was going to be the case, I figured that there was probably some heavy swearing going on wherever you were. I figured that you weren't very happy. Never late. Don't
I
like
have
being
to say,
late.
You're right. My language was deplorable, but I thought when I was in Pittsburgh, when the guy parked out in the, parking area before the gate, out in the runway there, he just sat there for 35 minutes. That my language was way better on that one. I was like, Jesus effing Christ, you got to be. I was like, you have got to be effing kidding me. I go, how long are we going to sit here? There's 15 effing gates open. What the F? I mean, like every 3 minutes I came out with a new one. I'm like, is this happening? Is this really happening to all of us? And the people on the plane were like, someone shut this guy up. And I'm like, you know what, dude? I will beat your ass. Don't even look at me. Because like people were looking at me because I'd be like, oh, here we go. How long is this going to take? Guy'd turn around and give me the stink eye. And I'd be like, listen, little man. Spin around with your fat wife or I'm going to smack you in the face. Trust me, you do not want any part of this smoke. And you know I do it, Carver High. I just like, hey, listen. So this chick gave me the business. I was like, listen, fatty. Have another bag of pretzels. Stay out of my business. I got to get off of this plane. I don't like being like claustrophobic and trapped and I wouldn't do well in jail, Carver High, you know, like where you're just trapped and they lock you up and you can't go anywhere. That's what it's like to me being on a plane that's late or circling, or you know they don't park the plane and they tow you in, and all those things that throw you off the plan to just land and get off and start your day and start your vacation, go to your game, go to your wedding. Your boy Sean, how about that? Your boy cousin Sean finally got married. What happened there, Carver High?
Yeah, big weekend in New Orleans. Cousin Sean got married Saturday, and I was the officiant. I was the priest.
You were the priest.
So, yeah.
Did you have any, like, the bread of Christ? Did you bust out, like, the blood of Christ? Did you have some wine and crackers?
No. It was not, there was no serious religious element to the ceremony. None whatsoever.
Were you funny?
Here and there. One or two. I really wanted to get through without screwing it up, so we didn't go too deep with the jokes.
You know, how did that cousin Sean, who I know to be a, you know, diehard Carver High guy, he's a diehard drinker, Islanders, the whole deal, right? Like, he's like mob bar, he's loyal, he's locked in. How did that guy avoid marriage for this long? What happened there? Was he married before?
No.
It just took him this long to get married.
First crack. And he's with the girl a long time. Long time.
How old is he?
He is 39.
Oh, so he's like, well, that's not bad. That's smart. I think that's smart, waiting to 39 to get married. Seriously, I think it's smart. Well, it's because, you know, my marital advice. Most chicks dig me until they hate me. And so, like, they all end up hating me in the end. You know what I mean? Like, all I do is gamble. All I do is, go to games. All I do is watch games. And all I do is eat expensive food. I eat at fancy restaurants. I stay in fancy hotels. I roll large and I gamble heavily. And if you don't like it, I can't help you. You gotta just, like, you're either with me and you can handle it, or it's just not gonna work out. And eventually they all turn on you. You go to too many games. You spend too much money. You don't need to go to those restaurants, those fancy restaurants. Every single night you're at a fancy restaurant with your sport coat and your fancy clothes, and you just don't need it. And then all these car rides and hotels and the gambling and the FanDuel accounts. And what is going on here? I'm like, you know what? Have a sandwich. You know, go get a Fendi bag, or, you know, go with your friends and go to the Caribbean or something with your friends and sleep with men or something. Go sleep with men in the Caribbean. Leave me alone. I'm watching the games. All you do is watch games. Well, gee, that's true. All I do is watch games, because all I do is talk about the games for a living. That's all we do, Carver. You have to watch sports. Is that true? Does hot and the cold give you the business about your sports viewing?
She understands the deal. Like, sometimes, on a Sunday, there could be something going on, but, you know, it is what it is. I got to watch the games. I got to know what's happening. I can't go in blind. I can't go the entire Sunday without dipping in for the games for a few hours. It just has to happen. It's pretty understood.
Does she ever say, like, you know, it's just incessant with the constant Bills this, Islanders that. You're just a horrible father. All you do is go every week and watch the Bills and the Islanders games, and you go to, and, you know, you leave me here with the kids. And you and these, you know, stupid games, I've had it up to here. Is she giving you that one yet?
No, none of that. Never get that.
Listen, I'm preparing you for the worst, for that day, because that day will come. And Hot Nicole is a champion. We all respect her and love her. And she needs to understand that, you know, it will never change. It only gets worse, Carver High. As you get older and older, you will sit on your ass more and watch more sports. Because once you get, like, to be your dad's age, what does your dad do now? He sits on his ass and watches sports. He's like Archie Bunker, right? Like, I'm Archie Bunker already. I watch sports all day, all night, every day. I go to sporting events. And when I'm there, I gamble on the sporting events. And I let the chips fall where they may. I come home in a massive hole of debt. you know, just spending thousands of dollars partying and gambling and eating and traveling. And it just is like, you know, you lose. This is how I roll. You lose. It only gets worse. Just so you know, Carver, I, like, now you're in your prime. But when you get out of your prime and you're into that old cobweb age where you're going downhill like Big Ben, you'll sit on your ass more than ever. You'll eat more than ever. And you will gamble and scream and yell and cuss at the TV watching sports. It's only going to get worse, Carver.
This is the life we've chosen. It is what it is. This is the life we've chosen.
So you haven't told me yet, which is coming up here at the top of the hour. Very exciting development on two fronts. And you know where I'm going.
Mm.
At the top of the hour, Carver High, much like the sheet of integrity, which he releases every season, you know, when, you know, this is, you know, here's your over-unders and your win totals, all the rest. But this is just as big because Brian Kelly,
oh man,
has turned his back on the Golden Dome in South Bend, Indiana. Never in a million years did I ever think that I would see a man walk away from Notre Dame. You either die or you get fired at Notre Dame, right? Like, there's no leaving Notre Dame, even if you're the winningest coach ever, which is what he is. He walked away from Notre Dame, and he did it with no class whatsoever. He was out on recruiting trips, lying to kids and families, and just shafting everyone. That's what I heard. So I want your opinion of it. I'm just going to tell you what I thought. When I heard he was going to go to LSU, I went, why in the Sam Hell would he leave Notre Dame for that school? Now, I get it. They play football. They win. They cheat. They do whatever. They win titles. I get it. Congratulations. But you never, ever turn your back on God and the Catholics and Notre Dame. He'll rot in hell forever. Place. I don't usually, you know, say these things on the air. I don't care. I went to this Hyde Park Steakhouse in Pittsburgh, right? I just wanted to check it out. And it was really cool place. And I liked the atmosphere, the setting. They had it all going. They had like legendary Steelers on a, like on a roll around the bar in the air, like where the lights are. It was like hanging lights. And around it was this, you know, the history of the Steelers, like from everyone, Jack Lambert, Joe Green, Jerome Bettis, all of them. And it was really cool. And then I got made in there. As you know, Carver, I don't go looking for attention. I'm not Mr. Look, I'm so famous. Look at me. Don't you know who I am? I'm not that guy. I just am fairly normal. And I'm like, you know, I do what I do. You know, a lot of people hate me. A lot of people like the show. I get it. I don't think I matter that much, but I went into this place and I got made by the, you know, GM or whatever. This guy, Michael, he was really cool. He gave me a tour of this gigantic place. It's got a lot of history there. And I went back to the kitchen and I gave the chefs a shout out because their steaks were kick ass. And I had a lot of fun at that spot on, I guess, Saturday night. Pretty cool place. I'll go back there for sure. Anyway, the other front that I wanted to talk about with you is Miami. Mario Cristobal got that job at the Canes, ripping him in. They always wanted him. And when we come back, I'll tell you what I think their problem is at Miami, why they don't win anymore. And I think I'm right. And then Carver High is going to unleash on Brian Kelly again.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.